All right, I don't want to steal any thunder. We got phone calls. We got ticket texts. We brought this up. It's a pure hypothetical, but it's the type of conversation the Tigers are going to get to have moving forward. They're winning. They're the best team in baseball, and they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. So when a prized player becomes available, the Tigers will have the cachet to get it done. Mm-hmm. Paul Skenes is not seriously available. He's got 5 years left of team control. But Pittsburgh is a major league farm system. They exist to populate everybody else's roster with great players. And for the discussion here, Bleacher Report said you'd give up Clark, McGonagall, and Lorenzo. Three top 100 hitting prospects to get Skenes. Would you do the deal? Is it the best use of those players? Because you could always trade for somebody else instead. Skenes gives you a 1-2 punch of Skubal and Paul Skenes, who could throw potentially four times in a 7-game right. playoff series.
Well, it's also, I mean, Skenes is still young, but a proven entity sure. over three unproven entities.
So here's the stat on Skenes. 2.12 ERA is the lowest for a pitcher in his first 33 starts since ERA became official in 1912. Hmm. Yeah, he's as good as it gets for a young arm. Let's get to Ryan in Sterling Heights. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I would do this trade for one reason, because you don't know what's going to happen with Skubal's contract in a year and a half. So if you get Paul Skenes, then you have a bona fide ace if Skubal does end up leaving in free agency.
Yes, that's one way to look at it, and I totally understand your thinking. The other thinking is you've got team control with Skenes for the next 5 years. You're not going to have to pay him a big paycheck, so you could pay Skubal and have Skubal and Skenes as a 1-2 punch for the next 5 years.
But at his point, if you can't,
right?
It's not much of a drop off.
It's not if you can't, if you won't.
Yes, that's a fair point. It's if they won't pay him. The Tigers right. aren't hard up for cash. This right. is a professional ball club with a rich owner. If they won't pay Skubal, this gives them the easy pivot. And you could still trade Skubal and recruit some of the prospects
right.
if you end up going that route. The ticket texters have pointed this out. These players are also unproven. None of them are, I mean, one is in double A. Most of them are in high A. The idea that we know with any certainty who they're going to be is silly, and to bank on all of them hitting is doubly so.
Right. That's why I brought up you have a proven entity in Paul Skenes, albeit, 33 starts, you said?
Yeah. Well, he may have pitched one more time since the article.
Okay. Versus guys that, and we've seen prospects, some of them pan out, some of them don't. In fact, most of them don't.
Texters want to know if we get Livy Dunn as well in the deal.
She would probably be.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
The Kate Upton phenomenon all over again.
You're recreating
the Verlander years.
Yes.
Verlander, Scherzer.
Skubal, Skenes.
Yeah. Now, I do need to point out those teams didn't win a World Series. So are we going too heavy on pitching when hitting is the real need? Like throwing the fact that Vierling is injured. People waking up today, Vierling is injured again.
If they had decided to pay Scherzer, would they have?
Eventually have.
It's an age-old question.
But the issue with those teams is they needed a clutch knock or two in the postseason. They needed bats to deliver, and they didn't in the postseason. And this Tigers team, by the way, still has that question about getting clutch knocks deep in postseason series. We remember games 4 and 5 against Cleveland a year ago. John, may I propose a better use of these prospects?
Oh, sure.
There is a team in Major League Baseball in fourth place in their division. They've lost 4 in a row. They have a losing record.
Oh, you're going for...
You wouldn't have to give up 3 top 100 prospects. You probably only have to give up 1, and it wouldn't be Clark or McGonagall.
You still want your boy?
May I present to you...
You still want your boy? Get over
Bregman,
it.
Bregman.
Oh, come on. Get over
He's
it,
He's hurt
man.
Right now, but if he was healthy at the deadline, tell me it doesn't make sense to trade for Alex Bregman. We don't have a third baseman, John. For a fraction of the cost, we filled a bigger need with a player that we know the organization values.
Why don't you just make the trade today, and that way Matt Chapman can just stay in Detroit?
We could have a little photo with all of them. It'd be great.
I thought for sure this would be a series that you'd go visit just so you could see your boy.
I could have done Chapman and Bregman viewings this month. You're laughing, but I don't actually mean it in this trolling, joking way. Like, why wouldn't it be on the table? If the Red Sox are in the tank, the Tigers are winning, why wouldn't you trade for Alex Bregman at the trade deadline?
And take on the contract that he signed there so he can opt out after this year?
It's a true rental. It's actually great. And,
but what are you giving up if it's a rental?
I'm not giving up Clark. I'm not giving up McGonagall. I'm not giving up Rainer. I'm not giving up a top 50 prospect. I've got two guys in the top 100 that play catcher first base. Would you be willing to part with one of them to solidify the lineup, to round out the baseball team, to cement yourself as a World Series favorite?
Yes.
I would give up a double A or a single A bat for that. Yes.
Okay. But we're also looking at it as, okay, from Detroit's perspective, sure, we'd do this. Is Boston going to do this?
Well, again, if their season's in the tank, we get to late July, they're in fourth place in their division. They're not winning anything. Bregman's scorching. He's going to opt out. What are you going to do? You're going to get something for him.
Yeah, to me, it's a true rental. And if he, what if you made the thing that he opts in?
I'm okay if he opts in.
Then you give up a better prospect. So you got him for 2 years. But the need is there. It's because of the Vierling injury. It changed everything yesterday. And because Boston's starting to fall apart a little bit, this makes perfect sense. And I got to tell you, this isn't just him trolling.
No, I don't hate it. It's just, what are you going to have to give up?
It's what he just said.
Would you give up Lorenzo, the guy you got in the Flaherty deal a year ago?
Yes, I'm no problem because, again, it's a prospect for someone that's proven.
Yeah, you throw in another low-level arm. I mean, you could give them 2 to 3 prospects with one being Lorenzo as a centerpiece and facilitate the deal. Boston added him late in the process. And if they're not winning, it doesn't make sense to keep him.
Don't get on him for this time. I put this in his head this morning.
I love that you did because it's brilliant.
He came in here like 6:30 and I said, look, I go, have you actually considered Bregman? Seriously. Like, I seriously would do this. I'm with you, Jim. It's a perfect fit.
It is.
It's a true rental. It depends where you're at in the standings.
And if he opts in, I'm not mad at that either, by the way. Who else are they paying on this team for the next couple seasons? While you're chasing a World Series.
I don't hate it. It's just a matter of I'm thinking about this one on the fly. What is it that Boston would want in return? Because I would have no problem giving up Lorenzo.
Yeah.
I'd have no problem giving up prospects, but when...
Are they going to want major leaguers, you're saying?
Yeah.
This team also has a little bit of depth there, too. Right? We were talking about, where do we play all these guys? Could you peel off one guy? I'm not trading, obviously, Carp or Green or Torque or any of the key bats. But
wow.
You want McKinstry?
Oh, boy. You're sending away your chip.
You see how badly I want Bregman in Detroit.
I mean, it's just I'm trying to look at this one on the fly from Boston's perspective because we do this all the time, right?
Yeah.
We come up with these great trade proposals and then it's like, yeah, we're going to give you our number 20 prospect for your all-star player. And it sounds great. And everybody says, yes, I would do it. Well, no one would do it on the other side.
Some ticket text from you guys. Skeens is filthy, but no way on that deal. We got good pitching, and those three dudes in our minor league system are going to be stars. The odds would suggest they're not all going to be stars. But if you want to say we got good enough pitching, we need to add at the plate, I would agree with that person. When does the MLB step in with a team like the Pirates? They get a generational talent. They can't keep them, so they rob other people of their top prospects to not pay them in the future and repeat the cycle. Yeah, basically, there's a couple of these teams in Major League Baseball that act like minor league teams. I think the Marlins have been one of them. The Pirates, the A's, teams that have operated this way for years.
I'm intrigued by the Bregman discussion.
I like this bug has been put in your ear.
Yeah. Boston, does anybody really think that Boston, 8.5 back right now, okay, I know on the heels of the Tigers making the comeback that they did last year, but in that division and with as tough as the American League is right now, would they even be able to get back into the race?
Well, they may, and that may make this
a moot point,
but I think it's noteworthy they're losing. They're below 500. They're in fourth in their division.
How long is Bregman out?
That's an oblique, which could be concerning. Right? For a hitter, oblique's a huge part of your swing. But if you get him back, I mean, the deadline's still 2 months away.
Right.
So if we're talking 4 to 6 weeks from now and he's back out on a baseball diamond hitting.
Yeah.
And they're not in it. I know this started as a Skeens conversation. I think this is an interesting way of looking at it too, though. They're going to be able to trade for a high-level player at the deadline because of their prospects. Texter says, nothing like getting outbid, then trading a top 100 prospect to take a contract you should have offered in the first place. Not exactly brilliant, guys. I know. But you can't live in the past. You got to make the most of today. Vierling's hurt now. You're better than we thought you'd be.
And they're worse than they thought they'd be.
And he has been spectacular when healthy this season. Anyway, we got ticket texts. We got phone calls. We'll get to those. A lot to do on the show. AJ Hinch at 8:02. We'll talk about this baseball team that just keeps winning.
Ask him.
Derail the whole interview. AJ, we got a hypothetical we were bantying around earlier.
How close was Bregman actually? God. What's your relationship?
Can you give him a call right now and three-way this? It's 97-1. Got to be careful with that. Yes. Guys, if you're looking for a straighter smile without the metal braces, you're thinking Invisalign, and now's the perfect time to make the move. Brightside Dental. They've got invisible and comfortable and more affordable than ever options for you. Free Invisalign consultation. That's no pressure, just answers. Flexible payment plans to make it easy to fit in any budget. I'm talking as low as $59 a month. Straight teeth, straightforward pricing. Something to smile about. Mention Jim Costa in the morning show. Lock in that price. Call 1-800-PAINLESS. Go to brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. We got more day-to-day baseball to talk with AJ coming up at 8:02. Tiger manager, top of the hour. Living in a little bit of fantasy land, dreaming a little bit. Tigers are in first place. They got a great farm system. They're going to be able to add at the trade deadline. Vierling's injury. They still don't have a third baseman. I floated it out there. Robbie in Clinton Township, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I think the Tigers should leave it that trader alone because he played him the first time, and they ain't going to keep him after this year anyway. He's going to leave. Leave the team the way it is. They're going to ruin their chemistry.
I happen to think the team's pretty strong. I don't think he would ruin their chemistry. I think he'd help them.
No, I'm saying if he comes here for this year, then he's going to leave. He's a traitor. Look what he did to him when he tried to sign a contract with him.
What did he do that made him a traitor?
He didn't sign when he said he was going to come here.
Well, he didn't say he was going to come here. He didn't break a promise, so I don't know that you'd call him a traitor. He signed a deal he was happy with. He actually gave the Tigers a counteroffer, and we did not accept his counteroffer.
Free agency, by definition, he gets to sign wherever he wants for whatever reason he wants.
I wouldn't want him for 1 year. It ain't worth it.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to chase the World Series, Robbie. Maybe you and I are on a different wavelength here.
We can get to the way we are.
We can. We'd be better with him.
Yeah, I don't think there's much.
If you got him.
Yeah, I'm trying to put together a way to get him. That's the whole point here.
Yeah, and maybe he opts out in Boston after the if things stay the same, this trade doesn't happen, and he's in Boston, and there and he feels like I had a great season, this team isn't going anywhere.
Right,
I'm going to opt out and I'm going to test the market,
try to get paid,
make
again
as much or more. But what if? Let's just follow us on this one. What if he came to Detroit in a trade such as this or one similar to it?
So I've told you guys, I still believe Bregman ends up a Tiger next year. Because if you look at the gap in his offer, the Tigers' offer and his counteroffer, the difference could be made up with 1 year of his current deal. The Tigers offered in the mid-20s, he's getting 40, the gap was 15. If he opts out and then takes the Tiger deal next offseason, he gets what he wanted and plays in Detroit. He gets the amount of money he wanted and he plays in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's still on the table. All you're doing is cutting in line and starting that now.
Yeah.
You could still rip up the deal and work out a long-term offering.
It's that caller's interesting about not wanting a trader because even on Twitch, they're saying, I'm not interested in a player that didn't want to play here. I don't understand this concept. Yes, he chose Boston because that's
they
deal
pay more money
he wanted. Right. And it doesn't mean that he, next offseason, if he's a free agent, doesn't mean he wouldn't choose Detroit. Doesn't mean he would.
Yeah, I should clarify. They offered him more upfront money. Detroit offered him more guaranteed long-term money, but his gamble is, I can piecemeal it. I can make more in year one, opt out, and then make up the difference next offseason. You would just start that clock sooner, and, yeah. and you'd have him for your playoff push.
And if he looks at this going, you know what? I'm making a lot of money, and I'm on a team that's young enough to be good for the next few years, the best years that I have left, and we have a chance to win a World Series or more than a World Series. Like, that's what players want. They want to make a lot of money.
Well, a couple points.
But they also want to win championships.
He'd make his money. Did it look like Comerica Park had some troublesome dimensions for him when he was here?
Yeah.
Not to me. You know what I mean? Like, for all the talk of he's scared to play here, he yeah. more than held his own when yeah. Boston showed up to the ballpark earlier this month. All right. 248-539-9797. Texter says, how does he know about their chemistry? Maybe he would add to our chemistry. Well, winning tends to do that. Getting good quality players yeah. leads to winning.
And I think we always have to be cautious of, as fans, because we have no idea what the general managers are thinking in terms of falling in love with their own guys. We think we know what we believe for Brad Holmes, but as fans, falling in love with your own guys and not wanting to improve because you don't want to send a player that's even not even here. They'll never be here.
The guys we're talking about are high A baseball players.
Yeah.
They will contribute in 2027 if we're aggressive, 2028 if we're fair. Try to win the 2025 World Series. Let's get on the same page. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Royal Oak is looking to make some changes to 11 Mile. This is between Woodward and Stevenson Highway.
Oh, it's your hood.
Yeah. So these changes could include reducing 11 Mile to one lane in each direction and adding a center turn lane, as well as adding some bike lanes, street parking, or maybe a green space. Now, this is a multi-million dollar project, and residents and business owners are kind of sharing mixed opinions. There's some business owners that are saying, hey, traffic improvements need to be made there. They also want more parking for their businesses. Other business owners are saying, nope, everything is good as it is. I don't see the need for all this construction. Let's not do it. Of course, cyclists, they say, share the road. We want bike lanes. So there's people that want to see the change and others that don't.
I'm actually pretty open-minded to this, but I have one request.
What's that? Oh.
Can we wait till 696 is closed before we would shut down another east-west path through Royal yeah. Oak, yeah. please? Yeah.
It's the construction right now mm-hmm. is just brutal.
Yep.
I also wonder, do we have enough cyclists to justify cutting down to one lane? I would lean no, but I'm open.
Well, yesterday you could have went to City Hall in Royal Oak and voiced your opinion and maybe seen how many cyclists showed up because that was their time to go in and voice their opinions about these road changes.
Did they show up in their bike shorts?
Probably, and their helmets
their
too.
Helmets, yeah.
Maybe their padded bike shorts, probably. I think so. Authorities are warning beachgoers and residents that live along Lake Michigan to beware of missing pyrotechnics.
Oh.
Yeah, very dangerous. The U.S. Coast Guard says that three cylinders did not explode as intended during this military exercise that took place earlier this month near Milwaukee. And
Milwaukee.
They have not shown up yet, so be on the lookout. The silver cylinders make red smoke, and a flame can reach almost 3,000 degrees. The Coast Guard says that there were four cylinders of these pyrotechnics that went missing. One washed up already on Memorial Day in Illinois, and so there's three left, right? So they're saying, hey, they're considered armed. They're considered dangerous. If you see one, don't go and play with it. Leave it there. Call 911.
Yeah. So. Don't light it yourself.
No.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's see what this will do.
No. The Detroit Lions will be hosting the Miami Dolphins for a set of joint practices during training camp, also ahead of their preseason matchup on August 16th. The Dolphins also announced that they'll be holding joint practices with their other preseason opponents, which are the Chicago Bears and Jacksonville Jaguars.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Love the joint practices.
This is also cool. I like the spelling bee. Maybe it's because it's something I can't do. I mean, like, I can spell basic words, but like, I could never be a part of this spelling bee, right? Like, the words yes. they spell, I've never yep. heard of.
Onomatopoeia.
Right, like,
language of origin.
So I think it's interesting.
The bathroom's over there.
So there is a Canton girl, 11 years old, who is making her second trip to the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Hopes of making it to the end. Unfortunately, I don't think she did. I did my research to see who. It started yesterday. It will go on today, and then the finals are tomorrow. But either way, good for her. Divya
Spell her name.
Spell her name. Chaudhry.
Okay.
I'll say.
That sounds good.
She attends Canton Charter Academy. And not only is she a good speller, of course.
Good student.
Very good student, also in robotics, but not only a student, a swimmer, a singer, plays a saxophone, multi-talented young girl. She made the quarterfinals last year, so obviously she was hoping to make
the finals.
The finals this year. She said she had a new strategy going into this year. Oh,
that's
what
awesome.
A sweetie girl. Yeah. So cute. There was actually 8 other Michigan students competing. I know that at least 3 of them made it past the first and second rounds. Somebody from Grand Rapids, a 14-year-old from St. Joseph, and from Kalamazoo. So we still do have... The last time somebody from Michigan won was in 1941.
Oh.
So.
Gonna snap the drought.
Yeah, let's do this. Now... Quickly, with the Scripps National Spelling Bee finals tomorrow, Google celebrated by looking at the top trending how to spell searches over the last month. And none of them are really that hard, but apparently they're just words you use a lot. So the top 5 words people can't spell, according to Google, congratulations, appreciation.
Really?
This one will throw you off. Florida.
Florida.
Florida. Amazing. And camouflage, which I guess I can kind of understand out of that group, which one would be the hardest to spell?
Which would it be?
Camouflage.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
So with autofill, at least you get you put camo and it fills in the rest.
Same like with congrats, congratulations.
Right. The ones that I struggle with are the ones that I try and sound out and spell, and I spell them so poorly that the autofill doesn't even get the right word.
That's the most embarrassing feeling. I'm getting close, and they're going, I have no idea what you just said.
Yeah, you completely reword the sentence that you're supposed to say because I can't fill in with that word.
All right, thesaurus, what is another word?
Yeah.
That's Heather with the news. All right, AJ Hinch at 8:02. Coming up next, we're inside 100 days to the NFL season. We want to know the defining storyline for our Lions. It's 97.1. Dickerson, come on. First at bat of the season for Perez. You don't even have a second to mourn or be concerned about Vierling's injury because this team already has a solution to that problem. They're one step ahead. Hell, feels like 2 or 3 steps ahead on some nights. You may have missed the news. Matt Vierling is back on the injured list. We're excited because he could play, you know, center field and third base, but apparently so can Javi. And now Perez is healthy and the Tigers win another game. They beat the Giants yesterday. They'll play at 1:10 today. And we've got AJ Hinch coming up top of the hour, 8:02. John, as you look at the calendar, looks like an ordinary May 28th, but you might not realize the significance, people.
Double digits.
We are inside 100 days, 99 days until the NFL season is back.
It's right around the corner.
Sure.
OTA starting today.
Today. So we wanted to ask you guys, of all the stories surrounding our Lions, what is the defining discussion? What is the storyline you're most interested in for the Lions as they get to OTAs and as we count down the days until another anticipated season of Lions football?
And this is one that's not like, what's the biggest concern?
No.
This is the story. There's so many storylines at this time of the year. And I mean, it could be as basic as, I want to see what Isaac Tesla can do. And, you know, is he going to be number 3 versus Tim Patrick at some point this year? Like that could be one of them.
It could be Aiden finally getting a chance to get back out and finish what he started last year. It could be the coordinators and the interest. Yeah. How does the offense change? How does the defense change? It could be the division, the schedule, the marquee matchups. What is the storyline you're most interested in for the Lions as we gear up?
The one for me, it all focuses on the offense. And I am very curious as to what this offense will look like under John Morton. Because the vast majority of this offense is the same. Running backs are back. Tight ends are back. The only real change is Zeitler's gone, but in his stead last year, you had Mahogany step in, played well. You've got Tate Ratledge, who they drafted out of Georgia, who I think is going to get a lot of time, may even start. Glasgow, like how are you going to, you know, maneuver the inside? That's about the only change. Everything else remains the same. And we heard from Ben Johnson when he left, he wasn't worried about this Lions offense because, hey, it is built to continue, you know, right down those same tracks that it was the last couple of years. And that is what we know that we have. What we don't know, and there are some examples, most recently, Eagles go to the Super Bowl, both coordinators leave, and then they struggle the next season.
Yeah.
Then they make a change again, a couple new coordinators. They go to win the Super Bowl.
It doesn't have to be a death sentence.
It doesn't have to be a death sentence. And I'm just curious because in this situation.
Which is it, basically?
John Morton has a history, albeit brief, but does have a history with Jared Goff, this offense, in its infant form. When he was here for, was it just a year?
Yeah, I believe it was.
And so, is there a possibility that fresh eyes come in who saw this offense and maybe from afar kept thinking, boy, it just seems so obvious that they would do X, Y, and Z. And it, keeping everything else very much the same.
Yeah, your bedrock's your bedrock.
But seeing some things with a different perspective of, well, I think Jared Goff could do this. I think Jahmyr Gibbs, as he's developed, could do this.
Like,
it could be better. Yes, there's the risk. It could be a learning curve.
It was one of the best offenses ever.
Yeah.
I don't know that I expect it to be much better, but can it stay stable and stay the strength of the team with the turnover? Yeah, I expect them to still be one of the four or five best offenses in the NFL. And who the hell knows? It could be one or two.
Well, and it could be a case where maybe the overall numbers, yards, maybe they're not as astronomical as they have been. The only number that really matters is in the win-loss column, but maybe they're more efficient.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, you don't think they're winning more games than they did a year ago, and we're not defining them by their regular season win total. John, to me, the biggest storyline is actually something we're not going to know in 100 days. It's not something we're going to know really for maybe 200 days. Ali McNeil. I think he is the biggest storyline for this season because the season will really start once he's healthy, the second half of the regular season and the ramp up to the postseason.
If it doesn't start till then, it might be too late.
I don't expect him to be out of the playoff picture when Ali McNeil is healthy, but he is the piece, right? They're leaning on our dudes on our D-line are good enough. And a lot of that has been, well, Aiden's good enough. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is Ali McNeil has to be and has at times been a game wrecker in the middle. The Eagles got a lot of interior pressure. The Chiefs get a lot of interior pressure. If Ali McNeil comes back off the injury, and they don't have to rush him back because they got a good football team, if he steps into a prominent role, that is a piece that gets the Lions further than a year ago.
And so I've already told you what I think is my biggest storyline. Mm-hmm. Yours is Ali McNeil.
Yes.
Let me just give you this to play into that a little bit more. Have the first-round picks. Now, Terrion Arnold's still developing. Mm-hmm. But the track record for Brad Holmes is that he's a pretty good evaluator of talent in the draft, especially in the first round. And it's really been the first couple of rounds because Ali McNeil was a third-round guy. Tyleek Williams, if he's a hit.
Sure.
You've got Tyleek Williams, DJ Reader, and the infamous Levi Onwuzurike. Now you
don't
throw
leave out
in
Marcus Davenport.
I'm talking about defensive tackles.
Okay.
All right. Stay with me. And now you throw in the player that we know as Ali McNeil, the way that he was. And you know, how long does it take him to get into midseason form if he's not back until November? We don't need him in midseason form, hopefully, until January.
Mm-hmm.
But he should be humming along at that point. You put him in that mix. Now, all of a sudden, that interior defensive line as a group might be one of the most formidable defensive tackle groups in the NFL. Because Levi Onwuzurike is playing on a one-year prove-it deal.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. I think he has a chance, with Aiden was more productive, a chance to solidify.
He's looking for that next contract. Yes. Whether it's in Detroit or it's anywhere else, he is looking to prove himself as a stud defensive tackle in the NFL, and he's got 1 year to prove it. The guy that has been that would be blocking him is not going to be able
Correct.
To be available until November, so he is going to be given every opportunity to show 32 teams, including the Lions, exactly what he can be as an NFL player. I love the motivation that should be there for Levi Onwuzurike, and then you throw in Aleem McNeil on top of it.
So it's the perfect storm for Levi. He was healthy a year ago. All of his production came when Aiden was healthy. He's going to have the reps. He's going to have the experience. The team needs him. Like it's set up for him to... I don't want to oversell it. I don't think he's going to be an 8-sack guy.
No.
But a guy who does deliver a little more in the interior than we've seen, waiting to pass the baton to Aleem McNeil, that's
all
what really...
Tyleek Williams is continuing to develop as... Hope what we hope is going to be a very good defensive tackle.
Some of your ticket texts pouring in. We'll take phone calls as well. 248-539-9797. A little pit stop on the Lions. We're inside 100 days. Biggest storyline. It's 97.1.
At First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They're going to take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, listen, and take the feedback that they get from you, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, that's exactly what they've done for me. Not just me, but all of my kids, my entire family, and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. All you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Talk to Tiger manager AJ Hinch coming up at 8:02. Tigers win again, win another series, and look to sweep the Giants today at 110 right here on 97.1. Yes, we know it's baseball season, but we're always keeping an eye on football season, and the headlines are everywhere. We're under 100 days until the start of the NFL season, and we asked Lions fans, what's the biggest storyline with this team? Is it the coordinator changes? John, you specifically wondered how the offense will look.
Yeah, how it's going to operate.
I brought up, clearly we want to see how the defense gets healthy, but I singled out Aleem McNeil because second half of the season, his status, his effectiveness could unlock the postseason run this team didn't have a year ago. We've got your responses.
And I, capitalizing on the coordinator as the biggest storyline, there's a couple of tentacles that this idea has as well. Is when we saw Nick Sirianni do this, it was really the first time that he had to replace coordinators. If this team is to be good over a number of years and you're going to have coaches that are going to be plucked all the time, it's also a tell on how good as that is Dan Campbell on hiring coaches. Because we know Anthony Lynn, the first one, didn't go well. What lessons did he learn there in then promoting Ben Johnson and bringing Ben Johnson along in Dan Campbell's offense? Same thing now. John Morton. You hire him because Ben Johnson's gone. What type of hiring individual is Dan Campbell? The evaluation of not just players and getting them to do things, but of evaluating coaches and getting them to operate how he wants them to operate.
Ticket texter, the storyline is how far does both sides of the ball fall after losing the two best coordinators the Lions have ever had?
Okay, well, that's a low bar.
I'm interested in seeing how big a leap Tyrion Arnold makes this season. That's my biggest storyline.
I get that one. Yeah.
Biggest storyline, what looks different with the new coordinators. Biggest storyline is the return of all the injured players and the impact they collectively could have on this team. This one says, is Anzalone on the way out? Is he holding out OTAs? The Lions signed his replacement this week, Stephen at work.
I don't think they resigned his replacement, no.
So you want to address this one?
He is not on his way out.
I don't believe so. Either.
I mean, maybe there's discussion about extending him. I think he's earned that right. But these are all voluntary. I believe he is an individual that is communicating at the worst with Calvin Shepard and Dan Campbell. But I'm sure he is also communicating with Brad Holmes as to the reasons why he's not there. Part of it might be, I'd like a new deal. Part of it might be, I just have a new baby.
Yes.
I think he was Abraham Boplan's replacement.
Okay.
That's the guy who was cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a body to fill camp. Mm-hmm. Zach Cunningham, the linebacker the Lions added, was it yesterday?
Yes.
As the show was wrapping up. Look, Alex Anzalone is 30 years old. Not a young man in today's NFL. I don't think teams are going to be bending over backwards to extend guys years ahead of time. If he performs well at the end of the season, I'm sure the Lions will want to keep him. I don't know that they're racing to get something done right now, and it's within his right to not put himself out there on the practice field this far out from the season. It's not sending any alarm bells or sounding any alarm bells to me.
No.
Texter says J-Mo's future is their biggest storyline to watch this season.
Sure, and we heard John Morton say that he could be the breakout star. It's what does that look like, and what does it mean for this offense?
I mean, his future will be talked about like by people like us and stuff. I mean, you know, but the reality is the story is does he break out like Morton said? You know, football card collecting has become a big thing, and my son Sam is into it big time. He's got a ton of J-Mo cards, and I told him, I said, hang on to these for this year, because either this is the year he kind of explodes and it all comes together, or he doesn't, and he'll just retain his value then. Yeah. I mean, I think what he can do for this team to take the offense to another level could be huge. I'm siding with you, Jim, with McNeil. Like, we all trust this team. I'm a little bit more pessimistic prediction-wise than you guys. I said 11-6, and it's a reason because of the quarterbacks are playing. The timing of the quarterbacks are playing. I don't think McNeil's going to be back until I'm circling the Giants game.
So the easier part of the schedule.
The Giants game. Yes. And so I'm open to a reality, you know, even though I trust this roster and I trust the coach, that they could be 6-4 after the Commander game.
So just so people understand what you're talking about, their schedule, the quarterbacks they're going to face while Aleem McNeil is sidelined: Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. Those are all road games. Baker Mayfield, who has been frisky and can be a problem. That's here in Detroit in primetime on Monday night. Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts, in your scenario, would all be games that the Lions would play without Aleem McNeil. Will they lose a couple of them? Yes. Yes. Now, will that mean they can't win the Super Bowl? No. The great unknown is going to be, what does Aleem McNeil provide pressure up the middle to fix some of what hurts them in those losses?
And it's not necessarily McNeil and the pressure he provides, but what does the loss of McNeil do to Hutch?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the pieces of the puzzle that hasn't gotten enough attention with this. Hutch played with McNeil last year when he got all those sacks. Now, I know some people are critical of the sacks he got against, who he got him against and
backup
all that.
Tackles.
Yeah, exactly, and all that stuff. But there is going to be an impact on him, and can Reader and other guys fill in there and provide at least close to McNeil, 80% of McNeil? Then I think, you know, I just think you have to be open to the mind. Can they survive to Thanksgiving, basically?
Because what you just laid out is five road games against top 10 quarterbacks before McNeil comes back.
And there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on Tyleek Williams, their first round pick. And it's his rookie season. What type of learning curve is there going to be? And can he come in and be 80% of Aleem McNeil? Is it even fair to think that he could be?
You know who's also a big part of this is, Tom, you mentioned him, DJ Reader.
Yeah.
Last year started the season recovering from an injury. Older player, not sure what he's got left in the tank, but a full clean offseason to get off on the right foot. But he might be a guy that doesn't have it at the end of the year, but can he give you the push early when you need it?
Well, they've got a trio of guys that they can rotate through there, so it's not going to all be on DJ Reader. I do expect that Tyleek Williams, because he's a first-round pick and he played at a major school, obviously Ohio State, and he's had success in his college career, that he will come in and be a contributor. To what level? How often? The level of impact is all TBD.
Well, Javi's taught us that anything's possible, so maybe this is the year that Davenport stays healthy, and then that's a positive for Hutch, you know?
I want a ruling from you, Tom. John sent me something yesterday.
No, Smarm. It's just the facts. Just the facts. I like to troll you every chance I get.
We have just a minute here before AJ. John sends me an Instagram message, and it goes, look who's already hurt, Joey Bosa.
Oh, boy.
Pulled a calf. He's out till training camp.
And I said, well, and Brad Holmes wins because Davenport's healthy.
Exactly. He's going to stay healthy all year.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't say that.
I said that.
Yes.
Super quick. A guy that's going to have a lot of pressures here is Kelvin Shepard.
Sure.
He's got a break. If the goal, Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Last six defensive coordinators that have won Super Bowls are all former head coaches,
veterans,
that failed, but very respected defensive coordinators. So.
Yeah.
Big shoes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got AJ Hinch after the update, 97.1.